Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I head out for a walk and deliver an episode to you while I stroll around. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, good morning, listeners. I hope that you're having a pleasant summer. It is early in the morning on Sunday, July 1st. 7:07 to be precise, and it's already, I would say, 75 and humid outside. Looks like it's going to be another scorcher here in suburban Chicago. Looking forward to today. I have a day planned of a different kind of gaming. I live in LaGrange, Illinois, which is right near one of the world's largest, if not the world's largest, classic arcade. They have something like 600 cabinet games, and a buddy of mine who's never been there is coming over, and we're going to go spend a big chunk of the day playing old video games. It's going to be a hoot. So that's what I've got on plan for today. I'm trying something new this month. I think I mentioned it earlier. My plan, so last month I wasn't happy with the way the top of the shelf episode went, because, or top of the stack episode went, because by the time it aired or released, it was like a week and a half into the month or more. I record my episodes about a week out, so that if I get busy, I'm not leaving a gap in the airing schedule. What I'm trying now is I just leave a gap for the top of the stack episode, and I record that one out of sequence. So I'm going to try not to refer to stuff I've already talked about in future episodes, but this kind of time travel is new to me, so we'll see how it goes. I also apologize if this ends up being a little bit longer. It's a beautiful morning here, so I'm kind of inclined to take a slightly longer walk anyway. And the top of the stack episode, there's lots to talk about. So one of the things, because I'm doing this podcast sort of on the regular in short bursts, it feels weird to talk about what I've been playing every episode. I would end up using half the episode talking about what I've been playing, and then, oh, there's a sprinkler. And then I wouldn't have covered the other things that we want to talk about. So that means I have a lot of what I've been playing that I haven't talked about at all with you. So I'm going to try to do that in the top of the stack episode. And maybe I'll start, we'll see how it goes. If this feels too much, then what I might do is start doing a mid-month update. So maybe you get two of these episodes a month. We'll see. But anyway, top of the stack. So for June 2018, you'll recall, the three games I had on my top of the stack were Robinson Crusoe, Adventures on a Cursed Island, Unreal Estate, and Crazy Carts. Two out of the three games from Portal Games, I just realized. So I will let you know at the end of the episode how I did on those things. As a reminder, top of the stack is, the idea is to pick three games that I haven't played or haven't played in a while that I really want to get back onto the table or get onto the table to try. Because I have a fairly large shelf of opportunity, I usually pick games I've never played before to put on top of the stack. I may in future start putting like one game on there each month that's a game I have but haven't played in a while. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a later segment. But so this month's top of the stack was Robinson Crusoe, Unreal Estate, and Crazy Carts. So I also am doing a 10 for 10 challenge. As a reminder, a 10 for 10 is where you have 10 games that you pick out that you would like to play 10 times each over the course of a year. So it's a total of 100 game plays of these 10 different games, and you're trying to get them all played. A good benchmark for where I should be by this point in my 10 for 10 would be the end of June is halfway through the year. So all things being equal, I should have 50 plays on my 10 for 10. I added it up, and not including my overage plays, because some of the games I've now exceeded 10, not including those, I have 49 plays on my 10 for 10. So I'm a little short of the halfway point, but doing pretty good, especially compared to previous 10 for 10s where I've gotten, like, I basically forget to do it, and I do hardly any at all. So there are still a couple games I haven't even cracked into yet, but definitely making progress on that. So here's my 10 for 10. The only finished game on the list is Gloomhaven. We're actually up to 15 plays on that yet this year. That's a favorite around my house. My wife and I and my daughter play that. Stuffed Fables, we haven't played at all in the last month, so that has not moved from 6. The same is true of Pandemic Legacy Season 2, which is stuck at 7 plays. Now that one, it's my wife and I and my daughter, and we're playing with a group of 2 friends. And so we haven't played that because one of the friends is traveling. I know, wait, those of you who play Pandemic, you're saying, wait, how do you play 5-player Pandemic? Well, Pandemic is a collaborative, it's a cooperative game, and we play hands facing up, or hands up. So we all play together. Each person gets to decide their turn ultimately themselves, but we all play together. And since there's 5 of us who want to play, I end up being the administrator. I take care of keeping track of the deck of cards, of where everything goes. I hand out the sticker. We actually take turns peeling the sticker off of the box because that's fun, but I'm the one who like knows where all the stickers are, and I pull them out, and I put the labels on the board when there's a outbreak or whatever. I mean, it's maybe not 100% as fun as playing, and I have played occasionally when only 4 of us are available, but usually we only play when the 5 of us are there, and it's really fun anyway. It's a great time, so. But we haven't played that at all, nor have I played Ex Libris, which is at 3. Century Golem Edition, I'm up to 9 plays on that. I don't know if I got it played this month. I might have been at 9 last month, but we're really close. And Arkham Horror, the card game, I still have not cracked into this year. I've still been buying the expansion, so I have plenty to play. I just haven't gotten around to doing it. That's definitely on the docket for this summer. On the other hand, I have moved the lever on some of the other games. My daughter and I got playing Matai Nai, and we played 3 times that. Matai Nai, super fun game. One of the reasons I like it is it's about 20 minutes long, and just about the point where it's pretty clear who's gonna win, somebody ends the game. So it's got a really tight timeline. On the other hand, there have been a couple games that have been super close, so I'm really enjoying that one. And it's really thinky. Roll for the Galaxy is another favorite. My daughter and I played that twice, so we've gotten that started. I added in the Ambition expansion, and we hadn't played that before, but I really like it. Yeah, I've been playing Race for the Galaxy a lot online on Board Game Arena, and I've come to enjoy that one as well, but I still like Roll for the Galaxy better, in part because in Race for the Galaxy, you can't produce and ship in the same round. And so your ability to generate income through your engine is slower. And Roll for the Galaxy, ship and sell is after produce. So if you time it right, you can produce and sell in the same round, and it accelerates your progress. I really like that. And finally, Via Nebula, I got 1 play in. So I'm at 2 plays on Via Nebula, 2 on Roll for Galaxy, 2 for Matai Nai, or 3 for Matai Nai. So, making progress, not quite 50%, but pretty close. Another metric I measure is first plays. First plays are games that I played that are new. How do I say this? Games that I played that are new to me. Like, it's the first time I've played that game. And I did 13 of those this month, which is pretty awesome. I'll give a little bit away. 2 of the 3 are from my top of the stack, which is exciting. I also got to try out Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, which I've heard people say is like Dixit meets Clue. And I can see that. Or Mysterium meets Clue. Or Dixit. Yeah, no, Dixit meets Clue is how people describe Mysterium. And then Mysterium made into a competitive game is Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. Or Mysterium meets the Resistance or something. It was fine. I guess I wasn't as enamored of it as most people who reviewed it were. I'm not sure why. I think, I hate to throw the blame on the teacher, but I think the person who taught me the game, I didn't fully grasp everything that was going on, and it was a big group, so I didn't want to ask, I guess. I don't know. Something didn't click for me there. It wasn't my favorite. What else is new? I've been playing online, like I said. I've been playing Targi. Oh, I got past myself. The big movement forward is on my 10 for 10. I didn't mention Terra Mystica. I played 4 games of that this month because I've started playing it on Board Game Arena. Terra Mystica, it's one of those big games that you gotta set out and it takes 2 hours to play, at least if you're new to it. I'm not new to it anymore, but anybody I'd play with would usually be. And it's super fun. Like, I really like it, but that time pressure makes it really hard to play. This change, this playing it on Board Game Arena, where I can play it, take a turn or two turns, and then, you know, play another turn the next day, it's worked out really great. My daughter and I have played a couple games, or one game so far, and I've been playing with Wes from the, who I know from Toggle, but I also know more now, really, from the forums for this show, which are on Board Game Geek, Guild 3269. Perhaps when Wes and I finish our current game of Terra Mystica, we could start another. If there are any listeners out there who'd like to join us, pop into the Board Game Geek thread and leave a message. We'll make a bigger game. But that's Terra Mystica, so I played 4 of those. But anyway, on Board Game Arena, I also tried out Targi, which is from the two-player line by Cosmos and is really good. I like it better than Hera and Zeus, which is the other one of that line I've played a lot. I've heard very good things about Jaipur, so I'm keen to try that, but I haven't tried it yet. We finally cracked out Sonar, which is a game that had been on our on my shelf of opportunity for a long time. My daughter got it for her birthday last December, and we hadn't played it yet. It's like a simplified version of Captain Sonar, which I haven't played, but pretty fun for all that, Sonar. Skull is a game I picked up a bunch of games this month because it was my birthday. So I got some cash, which I used to buy games, and I got some games as gifts. So lots of new stuff through that avenue, but Skull is one of those. I'd gotten a gift certificate to GameStop, and I don't play a lot of video games, so a $50 gift certificate at GameStop wasn't getting me much. But I went to a local one and I found an Xbox port of a whole bunch of old Sega Genesis games, so I got that with a little bit of nostalgia. And then I picked up Skull, which is a kind of twist on Liar's Dice, only you're using coasters instead, kind of. It's a fun game, easy to play. Would be a good travel game, so at some point I'll take it with us on travel. I don't think it works all that well as a two-player, but good game, Skull. I got to try Love Letter Batman, the same, that was fine. There's a new Kickstarter called Inoka that some friends were doing or are doing. It's a sort of fighting game with rock, paper, scissors mechanism that I enjoy. I tried out Apocalypse Chaos, which was one of my birthday games. That's a co-op puzzle game with a kind of sci-fi theme and a physical board component that's a nice twist. It was okay. We'll have to try it again to really get the hang of it. And then we tried Legacy of Dragonholt, which the first one's okay. I'm not 100% keen on it yet, but I can definitely see where it has potential. And so I'm looking forward to playing the next one, because the first one's kind of like a how does this game work thing. And then I did have a couple more thinky games that I got to try. Through the Ages, both the original version of Through the Ages and Through the Ages, A New Story of Civilization. The new one I actually got as a physical game, and that was really fun. My daughter and I played a game of it yesterday, and she kicked my butt. She scored, literally, 148 points on her to 150 points on me. And we were playing the base, or 100 points for me. We're playing the starter game, which is only 2 ages, as opposed to the longer game, which is 3. So I may perhaps have turned it around when we got into that third age, particularly because a lot of her points were coming from having the leader Michelangelo, who made all of the smiley faces on your theaters and wonders into theaters, wonders, and temples into culture points. And so there were several turns where she got 10 culture points a turn, and I just couldn't keep up. If we'd gone into the third age, she would have lost that leader, and I would have had a chance to catch up with her if I could make up some serious ground. But really, she was, like I said, she's finished 50 points ahead of me. It's brutal. But nothing better than getting clobbered by your daughter at a thinky game, I think. I also got to try Prodigal's Club, which you'll hear about later. I'm doing a Shooting from the Hip episode about it, or I have recorded it already and it hasn't come out yet. But that's a new one from Vladimir Succi. And I got to try Panamax, which is another episode. I have already talked about that one on the air. Really, really fun game, very thinky. So I got to try a lot of games. Like I said, overall, ended up being 13 different new games. The only games that I acquired this month that I haven't played are, I got Galaxy Trucker, the anniversary edition. I had the regular, but my son really likes it, so he got me the anniversary edition. I think I mentioned this before. So we played that a bit. So the two games that I got this month that I have not gotten to play, two new games, are Altiplano and Shipyard. Altiplano is the new game from Rüdiger Dorn, the guy who did Orléans, and this one's about living in Peru and farming alpacas, I guess. Looks fun. I'm really excited to play it. And then Shipyard is another Vladimir Succi game. After playing the Prodigal's Club, I'm bitten by the bug, and so I got that. I've now got his four main titles. That would be Shipyard, Last Will, the Prodigal's Club, and Pulsar 2849. The big question is, once I've got all those played a couple times, do I then go and get his other two more obscure titles? I looked at them. They're less attractive as themes, as game designs, but I still might get them because completionist sake, and they're well rated on BoardGameGeek. They've got good ratings, so we'll see. That's not 100% yet. I'm not quite in compulsive collecting mode. Getting there though. Okay, so before I talk about the top of the stack, I had one new thing I wanted to mention. There's a podcast I found called the Out of the Dust podcast, and it's a sort of expansion of a geek list on BoardGameGeek called the Out of the Dust Geek List. Out of the Dust is the idea of, if your games are sitting on the shelf, they gather dust. And once they've been on the shelf a year, they've got a lot of dust. So any game, if you play a game that's been on your shelf for more than a year, so you have it, but you haven't played it for more than a year, not counting new games, that's a different kind of dust. This would be games where you know how to play it, you've played it before, and then you don't play it for more than a year. That's an out of the dust game. And so I started keeping track of those as well. I have five games this month that were out of the dust. One of them is Roll for the Galaxy, which I put on my 10 for 10 this month, specifically so I could, or this year specifically, so I could get it out of the dust. Another was Corridor, which is a nice little two-player, you could play two or four, but two-player abstract game. It's got really nice wooden pieces and is nice to look at and easy to play, 10 minutes or so. Zombie Dice, which my son picked up to play at a cafe. It's fine. It's better. It's a nice way to spend some time with your kid if they want to play a push your luck game. There's not much to it, although I don't have any of the expansions. I know they've done like three or four expansions. Perhaps the school bus or one of the other expansions I saw adds something to it that makes it more exciting. And then the two longer games are The Resistance and Tricarion. Tricarion, I was very excited to get back to the table, and it's definitely on my list to play again in the next month or two so I don't forget how to play. Because it'd been so long since I played, I basically had to relearn the whole game. And it's really neat. About as deep as a game as I have. Very thinky, but really neat. And they just finished a Kickstarter. You can probably go do a pre-order if you're still interested, for a new expansion and a couple new fancy bits and a new box that will hold all of the stuff. So I was thinking about making a foam core expansion for Tricarion, or foam core thing for Tricarion, but now I'm not going to because the new fancy box will hold all the stuff, so why would I spend time on that? So that's Tricarion. And then The Resistance, I hadn't played that in a while. I actually run games of Resistance for my students almost every semester, but I don't generally count those in my games played because I'm not the one playing them. So I hadn't actually played it myself since December or January of 2016. So someone who's getting a game of the Resistance going at Toggle, and I played, and who else was in the game but Don Eskridge, the designer of the Resistance. So that was a pretty fun thing to have him in the game. And of course he and I got into that position where one of us had to be lying, so we just constantly accused the other person of being the traitor. That was pretty fun. He was the traitor, by the way, not me. Although his team won, so that's bad. But overall, a delightful game. Really fun. So that's the Resistance. So I had five games from the Out of the Dust pile. I took five games out of the dust. All right, so now the moment you're waiting for. How did I do on my top of the stack? So actually, I cleared two of the three games on my top of the stack in the first 3 days of the month. So I had a little time right at the beginning of June. So my daughter and I played Robinson Crusoe, which was pretty fun, really hard. We got our butts kicked. But I definitely want to get that back to the table again. And we played on Real Estate several times. It's fine. A cute little filler game. Not a ton there to think about, but it has a nice little mechanism where you collect cards to score, but you also have to discard those same kind of cards. The way it works is there's a discard pile, and the cards in the discard pile are a multiplier, and the cards in your hand are the scoring cards. So say you have a number three house. If there's one number three house in your hand and two number three houses in your in the discard pile, and you decide to score the houses, you would score 6 points. 3 points for the one in your hand, 2 points for the two cards in the discard. If there are two in your hand, then you would score 12 points, because it's 6 points for the two threes in your hand, multiplied by two for the two threes, or the two cards in the discard. And then, of course, the discard gets cleared. So, because there's like a discard area, and then the discard gets cleared. So if you haven't, if you didn't succeed in, so you can't just keep scoring the same ones over and over again, because the discard pile gets cleared when someone scores. The game on my top of my stack last month that I did not get to play was Crazy Carts. I read the rules for it and I figured out how to play, but I never really found the right time to suggest that the family play it. So that one went back on the shelf, but I am keeping it on my stack for one more month. So my three games on the top of my stack for July are Altiplano. I'm really excited to get those alpacas roaming around. Crazy Carts, a game I think my children will enjoy and we can play as a whole family. And Raptor, a two-player game that I got for my daughter for her birthday like a year, 2 years ago or something. We still haven't played it. But it looks really fun, and it's a two-player game that you can play in about half an hour. So, definitely needs to get played this month. So, my three for this month are Altiplano, Crazy Carts, and Raptor. So, I'm curious, what kinds of things do you track when you play your games for the month? Do you track this much craziness, or do you track less or more? Pop by our guild, 3269, and let me know. I'm keen to hear what you do. I'll also post a link to the two geek lists that this episode comes from. That's my top of the stack game list and my shelf of opportunity geek list. Both of those are the places where I track all of this sort of thing. Thanks for listening. I hope that I hear from you either on Board Game Geek or elsewhere. And I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Take care. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.